welcome to episode 134 of Grits to Glitz, a special Project Runway Glitz Blitz, the podcast that asks the question, can someone, like, fill me in on tonight's show?
No!
Cyclops.
Love that fashion. Love that Cyclops. Love that PodSafe Music Network.
And this is Grits to Glitz, and wow, do we have a lot to cover because I missed most of the show.
You didn't see much of it at all. And I'm learning to speak English.
We had thunderstorms here in Tennessee, and it knocked the power out, and I only saw the end of the show, so... This is going to be a weird episode, but we do have voicemail.
We've got voicemail, yay! We've got fabulous voicemail. And by the way, I just wanted to say, I remember the days of at least once a month, the power would go out for an hour or so. And you go and sit out on the front porch and watch the torrential rain. And here in Las Vegas, we don't get the torrential rain. And besides, we have underground utilities. So my power never goes out. Almost never.
Wow.
It's so boring.
That's pretty cool.
But it's boring. But it does mean that I don't miss Project Runway.
Yes, when my power went out at about 8:20 this evening and Project Runway was coming on at 9, I thought, I wonder if I'm going to get the power back in time. And then at 9 o'clock, I called Amy and I said, Amy,
nope.
I ain't got no power.
Help. So I'm going to explain it to you. I'm going to tell you the fairy tale of Project Runway Season 5, Episode 3. Once upon a time. But there were a bunch of
there
pissy
designers.
There were 85
zillion designers.
Yeah. But before we do that, we got some stupendous voicemail from this last week. And I want to start off with one from somebody for whom I am a favorite.
Oh, hi, Amy. Oh, hi, Ben. Hey, I just wanted to say something. This is Steve. From the strip and Petcast and blah, blah, blah. I have to say, I can't think of a stupider, more offensive challenge than having the model buying the material. I can't imagine. That would be like walking into Barnes & Noble and grabbing a bunch of readers and telling them to go pick out a bunch of words and a lot of letters and hopefully some punctuation and then hand it over to a writer to write something. That's ridiculous. It's stupid. It doesn't make any sense.
That is such a brilliant observation. It's completely... Yes.
It's a great analogy. But by the way, if you want a humorous take on this, you really have to take a look at Project Runway because they put some captions under the models. Oh, I fainted over there, but I ate a grape and I'm okay now. Can I pick blue-green because I don't look good in green?
It was a mind-boggling challenge, but Steve summed it up well. Thank you, Steve.
And by the way, they followed it up this week on the episode. Tim said, "Oh boy, it's the third episode, and now you guys get to go to Mood to pick out some fabric." They've gotten to the third episode without being able to pick out their own fabric.
Oh my gosh, those poor designers! We won't get into it, but you know I'm going to ask, did they thank Mood?
Because
I praised the models.
Tim started it. Tim was like, you know, the parent teaching the children, thank you, Mood. Thank you, Mood. Seriously.
This is why I love Tim Gunn.
Yep.
Okay, so that was our first voicemail.
That was the first one. Steve, there was an addendum from Steve. Take a listen.
Also, Natalie Portman bores the crap out of me. Okay, that's all. Bye.
So I'm guessing she's not his favorite.
That's because you're his favorite.
Oh, that's right. I am.
Steve, I agree with Steve. You're my favorite, too.
Aw, shucks. I love you all.
Thank you for letting us adore you.
They're there.
Now, can we go to our... next voicemail, because I was really excited because we got some good voicemail, but I really like this one. Because it's from a new listener.
Brand new listener.
Love the new listeners.
Love the new listeners. And by the way, this is a good time for you guys to take a note. I'm going to say this again at the end of the show. But do give us a call at 206-309-7232. And if you don't have a pencil, go look it up at gritstoglitz.com. We love getting your voicemails, and we look forward to playing some of them every week because I don't catch everything like Danita points out. Listen to this.
Hi, Amy. Hi, Bay. This is Danita. I'm down in Fort Worth. I wanted to make a comment about something that y'all talked about tickety-tack, and about the winner of last week who made the dress with the big standy-uppy collar. What it totally reminded me of was, do y'all remember Daniel Vasevic's, and I believe it was a winning design as well, where they had to take their cameras and get inspired by something that they took a photograph of. And Daniel Vasevic took a picture of an orchid, and he made a blouse out of cream-colored satin, and the collar was very similar to that, same collar, and it was also a winner, if I'm remembering correctly. So I think that was just a blatant ripoff, and I can't believe that no one mentioned that fact.
That was what I was trying to think of, actually, when I said I thought it looked like Bradley's. No, really, Bradley had something made out of a very similar material, but his blouse didn't have the collar. And I was trying to think of Daniel Vasevic's outfit, which really was very similar to the one that Kenley made last week.
Well, I didn't think of Daniel Vasevic at all until Danita called. So thank you, Danita. And today, when I had power in the afternoon.
Back in the good old days.
Bravo was rerunning all of season two. So I was like glued to the television. You know, that's my favorite season.
Weren't there some fabulous personalities? I think that's most people's favorite season. Blogging Project Runway.
Well, it was the best season. It was loaded with personality and talent. And I happened to catch the episode where Daniel won with that blouse. And dang, girl, you are so right. That was just a blatant ripoff.
It was super similar, wasn't it? But
it really, really was.
So maybe that's why she didn't win. They didn't say that. And the dress last week kind of flattened her out, too.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Squashed her. Just, yes. Totally. Squished the little boobies.
Well, this is...
Those models are skinny already.
You can't squish them down much more, can you?
But that dress did.
It worked on it. Okay, well, this is the thing. This is a very good place for us to bring up what the challenge was this week in episode 3. Their challenge...
Because I missed it.
You missed it. What they did was they took them out in the middle of the night in the pouring down rain and put them on a double-decker bus and drove around New York City, which, by the way, I have done and I recommend. Bus tours.
Oh, well, you know, we love the bus tours.
Is that because I'm old and wear orthopedic shoes and, you know, the gray hair? And
you don't wear orthopedic shoes.
Oh, come on, Myrtle. Let's get on a bus.
I have to confess, I love those little tours, too. I want an expert standing in front of me and telling me what to notice. I enjoy that.
Yes, and it's a great way to get a good look at a new place and then see what you want to go back and look at closer.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
It's the overview. It's the Cliff's Notes.
They piled them on the top deck of a double-decker bus in the rain. And
really?
And then abandoned them at various points in the city.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And I wrote it down this time. They kicked off Suede, Daniel, Leanne, and Jennifer at Columbus Circle, which you and I visited one time in New York, remember?
Yes.
Yes, it was a very good time.
We had a crepe, didn't
we? Yes, we
did. That's
where we had a crepe.
From a street vendor?
Right, right.
That was yummy.
Mm-hmm. That was fun, and they prowled around and took pictures of things with their little cameras, which, by the way, apparently the camera maker did not pay their promotional fee because we don't know what kind of cameras they were, which is probably just as
dun,
well,
because
Stella couldn't figure out how to work it, so it wasn't a very good advertisement. How does this thing work? How do you zoom? Where's the button? You have to slide it open. Oh, okay. Which brings us to the next point, was Times Square. Was Stella and Kenley and Blaine and Keith. They were let out there. And then the next stop was Koto. Is it Koto? Koto?
I thought it was Koto. Koto. But hey, I didn't see it at all tonight. I didn't see Koto at all.
She was there. She attended. Present. They let her and Kelly and Joe off at Grand Central Station.
Joe.
Yes, Joe, the straight one.
Yes.
I'm guessing he's going to stay on a good long time because we haven't heard anything about him.
Anything about the poor man. No, he's like somewhere.
And finally, they let Terry, Emily, and Jarrell off in Greenwich Village. And they just ran around taking pictures. And I love their approach to the pictures. They weren't trying to take pictures of landmarks and things. They really got into it. Kind of gives you an idea of a designer's eye. They got close to things. They looked at a fire hydrant.
This is so perfect. It's such a great tie-in for Danita's phone call because that was the same kind of challenge from season two.
Right.
They were given cameras and let loose. And remember, Andre took the picture of the
gutter water.
Dirty gutter water and made that beautiful dress.
Incidentally, I saw at least three people taking pictures of gutter water in this episode. It's like, Andre, I want to channel Andre.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad they're revisiting some of these classic challenges. That's smoking hot as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, it certainly works to go back and revisit some of the best things they did before. Works for me.
Yep.
Okay, let me see. While they were out taking pictures, Keith was very competitive, and they showed him walking in front of people and just kind of not socializing. He didn't play well with others in this episode.
Is Keith the one, I have to ask this, and I don't want to get too far afield, but is Keith the one with the little pigtail at the back of his neck?
I don't know.
It would be a rat's tail, except his hair is curly or something, so it curls up just like a sweet little pig's tail.
I haven't paid close enough attention. He's the one from Salt Lake City. He's the one that the Project Run Gay boys think is hot. A lot of people think he's hot. I think he's hot.
Is his hair shaved?
Pretty much, yeah.
Then that's the one with the pigtail.
Okay.
It's adorable, but it always reminds me of Homer Simpson. When I see the pigtail, I'm thinking spider pig, spider pig.
I'm sure Keith would be flattered. Keith.
Okay, go on. So he was being competitive.
Keith was competitive, and then Suede continued speaking in the third person. My heterosexual male who doesn't watch the show with me is starting to get violent about that.
Why?
He really does not like when Suede calls himself Suede.
Oh, he doesn't like third person. So Suede did the third person thing again?
Yes.
Almost everybody hates that, and I find it just hilarious. I thought it was... I haven't seen this week's third person episode, but his monologue last time went into a personal ad, and I thought it was hilarious.
Well, yes, in that context, where he was kind of like writing a personal ad, Suede is a bisexual Sagittarius, and that was...
that's up
okay,
strips of fabric.
Because he's narrating something as someone else. But when they say, Suede, the first thing is what they're going to do with the models. And they say, would you like to keep your model or would you like to switch with somebody else? And he said, Suede loves, I think her name was Tia. I don't know. Suede loves Tia. So Suede will keep Tia. And all this, I think he's doing it more and more now because he found out it irritates people.
Darn it. I'm sorry that it irritates people. I still think it's adorable, and I'm sticking with adorable and hilarious until someone teaches me otherwise. Royalty refer to themselves in the third person, you know.
Suede is not royalty. Suede is a PR. Just like the rest of us. In the workroom, Blaine taught Tim, Blaine and Terry, I think, collectively taught Tim about holla at your boy. And I had noticed this last episode, the preview had Tim saying holla at your boy, and then they didn't show it in that episode. Well, that's because it was in this episode.
strange. And, well, you know, this is a good time to go ahead and address the Tim thing. Because we've had our questions about Tim.
Whether we genuinely
love him.
Absolute bitch about it, actually.
Oh, Amy.
Well, I have, haven't I? I hate him. He's so terrible.
And I just kept saying, I want to love Tim.
I want to love Tim, too. And today I got a major big reason to love Tim.
We found out. Thanks to the Weinstein Company and Bravo going at each other like drag queens over a wig. they're in court. The lawsuits and all that stuff. It's so information is coming out that we've never really heard before. And Tim Gunn, who is the heart and soul of Project Runway, especially the early seasons.
Mm-hmm.
What has never been financially rewarded, commensurate with his
contribution.
What's the word? Thank you. Contribution. He's never been adequately rewarded financially.
Truly as selfless as you might believe, because he did season one for no pay. And I'm guessing that the reason he did that was so that he would be promoting the school, Parsons. I think he probably was saying Tim is from Parsons, and people would maybe come to Parsons, and he was doing it like as part of his job.
It worked. It worked, Tim. It worked.
Everybody wants to go there now, except Tim left. Damn it. And then the second season, Tim got $2,500 an episode, which is nothing. Catering costs three times that much every day.
Wow. So we're back to loving Tim, totally.
So, and then in season three, he got an agent. And so, yeah, I would imagine, knowing what I know now about the Weinstein Company and the way it works, I would say that, yeah, he had to play hardball in order to be paid much at all. And so they said, we're not going to pay you to do a podcast. And he said, okay, then I'm not going to do a podcast. And yeah, there is justifiably a great hue and cry for Tim to do the podcast, which he still should.
Well, we loved it. We loved being, you know, we loved hearing him, and we loved feeling like an insider. Just loved it.
Yes. Okay. We're now up to 19 minutes, so let us talk some about some fashion. I'm sorry. But one more thing before the fashion. You missed a big piece of drama.
Drama? I missed it?
Keith's model had to drop out.
What?
Yeah, Tim came in and said, Keith, it was just like, oh, Keith, you've got some gum on your shoe. Oh, Keith, your model had to drop out of the competition.
Oh, my gosh, we have not seen that happen since season one and Jay McCarroll went out and begged strangers to come be models.
Yeah, yeah, they took a little better care of Keith than they did of Jay, because they brought back the last oft model, Alyssa.
Oh, don't you know she was, you know, weeping with happiness?
She was this season's Chris March.
Yeah.
She's gone. No, she's back. Yay.
Wow. Poor Keith. I take back what I said about the pigtail. No, I don't. I can't. It's there.
He couldn't help it about the model, but he did have to take his what do you call that, confetti dress and fit it to a different model.
Yikes. Was that his dress? It was supposed to be inspired by a newspaper?
Yes.
Okay, then we will get back to that in a minute. So
yes.
That was the big drama, and there no girlicious.
No, there was nothing ishious. There was some holla at stuff, but nothing ishious.
Okay. I'm really looking forward to seeing this episode.
And Blaine was going to eat somebody. He was going to eat Kenley.
Huh?
Kenley looked up from her sewing, work, looked up, and Blaine was staring at her, and he continued staring, and he said, I'm going to eat you.
Blaine Crazy.
Blaine Crazy. Mm-hmm.
I like crazy. Okay. All righty. Now, I know the top three and the bottom three were. On the runway?
No. There were, and see, I would have to count it up. Let's see. Blurry lights, streaky lights, shadow on the pavement. There's a light fixture. Neon, graffiti. There's a whole lot of really ambiguous. There was somebody, Jarrell was inspired by fountains and made a flamenco dress because of that. And I really didn't get that. It was a lot of, what do I want to say? Abstract. There was a lot of abstract inspiration.
Huh. Well, that's a good thing.
Maybe they were afraid to actually take pictures of gutter water and go with that, but they were finding other things gutter water-ish.
That's, I would imagine that that's easier to design around. I don't know. I'm not a designer. You just keep going with this. So you didn't think anyone was unjustly left out of the top three or the bottom three?
Looking. No, my top pick was in the top three.
Excellent. That's good. That's a good sign.
I would have had Stella back at the bottom again.
But she wasn't in the bottom three.
I know. That's one that I'm looking at. Stella, believe it or not, Stella found something that was made out of leather.
Oh, I'm so happy Stella got to work with her leather.
She found a blinder on a horse that was made out of leather. And she said, I'm inspired. So she made something inspired by.
Good for Stella. Girl, look, Stella, stick your guns. Here's some absolutely.
Waterford crystal. No.
No, good for her.
She made a rock and roll tight pants laced up and tight bustier with a tit discrepancy. I would have put that in the bottom three. I just really thought, no, it's good.
Don't do that.
What?
Oh, this is excellent. I'm so looking forward to this episode now. Thank you so much for cluing me in.
Let me kind of give you a rundown of the ones that are not in the top six, just what I have written down here. Suede, blurry lights, gray satin. That's what I wrote down. It was kind of nondescript. Emily, we'll get back to her. Daniel, he was inspired by a woman's silhouette reflected in the wet pavement.
Perv.
I wrote down nothing about the dress because it was kind of a nondescript dress. Cotto, she was inspired by some gray tile texture, and she made a black jumpsuit because of that. I didn't get the jumpsuit and the tile connection there, but they didn't put her in the bottom because of that. Keith, he was the wet magazine. We'll come back to him. Joe was inspired by a light fixture that was kind of an amber color with black leading. It was black framework. Okay. And I really liked his dress. So I would have been happy to see that in the top three. But he, once again, he was somewhere comfortably in the middle. I'm looking forward to learning more about Joe when they let us learn about him. Leanne, she's in the top three. Jennifer was with a clock. She was in the bottom three. Kenley was using a tile wall, and she was in the top three. Stella did the tit discrepancy I told you about. Blaine, this is one of my favorites. Again, my heterosexual male had the quip of the day. He said, Blaine, his dress was inspired by some neon lights, and he says, it looks like Rainbow Bright threw up. So I guess we've got a little bit of a theme going here. Last week the sewing machine threw up. This time Rainbow Bright was the one with it was hurling. Terry was in the top three. Jarrell did that thing I was telling you about, the fountain, that, and so he made a flamenco dress, one of the several flamenco dresses. You know, some of these ones I'm talking about, satin, they, it was a cha-cha dress. It was something ruffly. And Kelly was inspired by a fire hydrant, and so she made something out of black satin.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah. But I guess, you know, when they've got 47 designers and they can only pick two, you know, it ought to be pretty easy to wind up in the middle.
Okie dokie. All righty. I barely saw the top three and the bottom three. And we know that, oh, crud, who won? I can't even remember that. That's how Kenley, fast it all was.
Kenley won with a dress that Sandra Bernhardt, by the way, Sandra's looking a little rough there. Sandra mm-hmm. has the same birthday as me. Different year, same day. Sorry, just a little bit of trivia out there. Kenley made that green and purple dress that Sandra Bernhardt looked at it and they said, well, if you got one big thigh and one little thigh, and Sandra looked at it and said, or a great big goiter on one leg. That's the dress that won.
That's the dress that won?
Yeah.
Wow-wee.
A great gnashing of teeth happened in Las Vegas because our favorite was Leanne's tree planter dress.
I'm so sorry. This is the way it goes, though. This is the way Project Runway goes now.
Yes. And I was going to say, it's not just because I picked out Leanne from the very beginning. Based on the few little things I saw from her portfolio, I said, oh, I like her aesthetic. This one was very true to her original aesthetic, and I want to wear that. And Heidi said she wants to wear that. And instead, the goiter dress won.
Goiter dress.
That's what it's going to be forever for me.
I'm not sure. I'm not a designer. But I don't think I want the word goiter associated with my designs, no matter what I'm designing.
But goiter, once Sandra Bernhardt has pronounced it, you must give in to the goiter. It's there forever.
Forever and ever, amen.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Okay. And then the other one in the top three was Terry's two-piece with the backless, what she called a dress, although I would kind of call it a tunic. If it goes over pants, I call it a tunic.
I it kind of caught my eye. And I think we were talking about Terry last week, and we've seen this on Project Rungay in the comments section. And I think we got some voicemail or some email about it. A lot of us are kind of going, Terry is flying under the radar. She's really making very pretty things, seems to be a nice person, and we're looking forward to seeing more of her. Maybe she is this year's Michael Knight.
Yes. Oh, who was it that said that? We got a call from Corey. And yes, this year's Michael Knight. It's kind of like cruise along for a little while, and then ta-da!
Yay!
I hope so, because I do like her aesthetic, too.
I liked it. And then we had the bottom three. And honestly, I thought Jennifer was a goner.
I did too.
And I was faked out last season the same way. I can't remember which episode it was or who it was. But generally, when the judges say boring, you're out of there. You are gone. And last year, they called someone boring and didn't kick them off. And now this year, Jennifer has been saved from the boring bomb.
Matronly.
Oh, my God. They called it boring and matronly. I thought that was it. It had to be over.
And she had bad hems on it.
Those were...
The hemming was bad. And just ask, was it... who was it? Kevin Christiana from last year or last season?
Mm-hmm.
Who his bad hemming did him in.
Yes. Bad hemming can send you home. So I was very surprised that Jennifer was saved, but she was, in fact, saved. And the one who went home was?
Well, I was going to say, and the other one that did not go home was Keith with the Charmin and a Whirlwind dress.
Okay, I only saw that dress for a second, but I have to say this. I liked it.
It was, I'm going to be curious to see if you liked it again. You know, oh my gosh, it's kind of reminiscent of Michael Knight's coffee filter dress.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. I was like, it moves. It's cute. And I didn't, I don't know because I only saw it for a second, but it didn't offend me. Not like, you know, Blaine's corset thing from the first episode. That thing was hideous.
Wait till you see Rainbow Bright throwing up, but okay.
Oh, we have to get through this episode. Don't make me laugh.
But, you know, and I'm going to have to go back and look and see what's the difference between Blaine's Rainbow Bright throwing up dress and Emily's slashed open at the boobs dress, because the ruffles, I liked her inspiration with the streaky lights. I thought that was a nifty little artsy shot that she got there, but it just didn't translate well into that much volume.
I was surprised. I didn't really want to see Emily going home that quickly, because just last week you told me there wasn't Emily, and by gum, there she was.
And I liked her.
Well, you know, we don't really get to know these designers in the first few weeks very well at all.
That, by the way, that's another point, is she's one that I really kind of, based on the, if you don't know them very well, they're staying around for a while. You would have expected her to stay around for a while, because we really didn't get to know her very well at all.
Mm-hmm. I hope Emily goes on to do all kinds of interesting things, and I'm sure she will. After all, some of our favorite designers have been kicked off early. Milan Breton, Emmett McCarthy.
Yeah.
Great, great designers who are doing fabulous things. So, Emily, you go knock them dead. And congratulations to Kenley.
Yeah. I may not have called it that way myself. I might have gone... I think I would have had a different winner and a different loser. But really and truly, is anybody a loser on this show? Everybody gets a whole lot of publicity.
No, I don't think anyone's a loser.
Except Vincent Libretti. But
and I'll be tuning in next week, hopefully, if my power is on. I live in the boonies.
If not...
Sometimes we got electricity and sometimes we got indoor plumbing, but both at the same time.
And if your electricity does go out, next time I will watch Greatest American Dog and describe that to you, and we'll discuss that.
Oh, my gosh. You know I missed that, too. I'm also missing True Genius, so I'm just, you know, my reality competition thing is just, I'm dying here.
Well, thank goodness they show most of those things over and over, some of the others you can pick up on the internet.
Yep. Thank goodness for the interweb.
Okay, did everybody get their pencils? Here we go again. You can write to us at Amy or Bay at gritstoglitz.com, or you can call us at 206-309-7232. And by the way, if anybody's afraid that you're going to call us and we're going to answer and you're going to have to talk to us in person, don't worry. It goes straight to voicemail. It ain't nothing but voicemail. And we get it emailed to us, so we get to listen to it a little later. So we really looking forward to hearing from you and can't wait to watch what happens.
Thanks for listening. You guys are the best. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye.